say it is definitely good to see each and every one of you out and able to be out. And our number may be small. It is saddened to see that number with so many out, missing, traveling, sick, different things. But, you know, we continue to fight the good fight of faith, and the Lord will be with us, and maybe one day we'll continue to grow. My lesson tonight is, you know, our life, service or show. And we're going to look at a couple of different aspects of life, things that we say. Some of it is the ideal of at worship. Some of it is out in the world. But, you know, our life in general, you know, for service or for show. So, you know, a question we could even ask to start with, you know, why are you here tonight even? Why are you here? And for some, why are they not here? You know, I mean, you could throw that question out even. But, you know, why are you here? And, you know, for those that are here, you know, that faithfully attend service, you know, in, service out, you know, you're dedicated. You're dedicated. That's why you're here. You're dedicated. You're dedicated in serving God. You know, you're here to worship in truth and spirit. You want to know what's right. You want to do it in the right way. You're dedicated in that service to God. You're concerned with helping other Christians. You're here to uplift, to strengthen, to encourage. That's what you're here for. You know, there's that admonish I just put up. You know, that's what you're here for. You know, you come not only to serve God, but also to serve your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, the ideal of uplifting, encouraging, admonishing, strengthening, helping in times of need, that's why you're here. So, yeah, serve God faithfully, the correct way, the correct, you know, mindset, the correct attitude about it, and serve your fellow brothers and sisters correctly. That's why you're here. You understand your place, your purpose, and you're going to do it. But you got to get on the other side, or you know, maybe you're here, and I've met, you know, individuals that is why they come. That is why they come to services. For some, it's to be seen of others. You know, it's the ideal of being here, you know, and someone telling you, you know, hey, how you doing, whatever. I've known of people that have got mad because the preacher didn't recognize them when they come in the door. The preacher didn't say goodbye to them as they went out the door. I've actually been fussed at myself because I did not make a specific beeline to them as they sat down in the chair and said, hello, how are you doing? You know, the ideal of recognition of some sort or another, whether it, you know, be to receive praise. Oh, you did such a great job. We're going to bring that up, you know, when it comes to different parts of the service. You know, I thought I had a good prayer. Why didn't you tell me how good a prayer it was? You know, I've heard people say things like that, you know. Wonder why someone didn't tell them how great a job their lesson was. You know, there's people that come for those things, you know. Or even how good their newest outfit looked. You know, I wore a brand new outfit to services today. Nobody told me how good I looked in it. And you're like, is that why we're here? You know, fashion show? I mean, really. You know, to gain recognition, you know, I have met preachers that they do what they do for a level of recognition. Even like, okay, I'm starting here at Lakeview, little group, little people, but I'm going to preach hard and I'm going to go to gospel meetings and then I'm going to move up to like bigger congregations and I'm going to be a big name preacher. And, you know, and just wordings like that, you know, big name preacher and stuff. The only reason you're here is for recognition. You're not here to serve God. You're not here to serve your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, it's the ideal of some kind of recognition. For some, they're here to complete a requirement. I know it's commanded for me to come and worship. I'm supposed to be here. Too many, I think, those that only come on Sunday mornings, that's why they're here. It's to check a little box off. Sunday morning, I came, I took the Lord's Supper, cha-ching, I'm done. Move about the rest of my week. I met a requirement, you know, and that's what they'll say. You know, you start talking about all the other, you know, services we have, you know, Bible classes we have, the other things that we do. No, that's not required. I've actually had people use like that statement. That's not required. I don't have to do those things. And I'm like, where are you, you know, in this ideal of life? You know, I just do the least that I possibly have to, and I think that'll be good enough, you know. You know, a lot of them, you know, the ideal of just getting it out of the way for the week. Come Sunday morning, move on. You know, and sometimes maybe some of these things that we see, you know, because the title of the the whole, you know, lesson is our life. You know, it's more than just our service, you know, being here, but here on the earth even. You know, why are you here on the earth? You know, are you here to serve God faithfully? Are you here to encourage and strengthen others? You know, make people's lives a little better? Or are you here to sort of be, you know, one of those individuals that tears down more than they ever build up? You know, are you here to take and be seen of others, to receive praise, to want recognition? You know, why are you even here in life in general? Not just service like in the building here, come together. Why do you do what you do? You know, part of this could be the ideal of, you know, just your mindset. Where are you in your mindset of things? You know, why are you what you are in that sense? You know, so reasons. You know, we're here for something, every one of us. Here in this building for some reason. Here in this life for some reason. We go to work for some reason. You know, so you got to ask yourself, you know, well, what is it? You know, what is it? What is my purpose here in this life? What is my purpose when I come to the building, you know, for worship? You know, well, what is my purpose when I go to the job site? You know, what is it? You know, and if you start questioning yourself on those things and try to look at why you do what you do, the way you think about what you do, it's a life changer one way or the other. Mark 12 really shows us two kinds of people. So if you will, turn with me to Mark 12. Mark 12, and let's look at 38 through 44. Mark 12, beginning at 38. Then he said to them in his teaching, "Beware of the scribes who desire to go around in long robes, love greetings in the marketplaces, the best seats in the synagogue, and the best places at feast, who devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. They will receive greater condemnation." Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury, and many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which make a quadrant. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, "Assuredly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had, her whole livelihood." So, you know, there's two kinds of people here that the Lord is pointing out. You know, he talks about the scribes. He talks about these that are rich as well, which the scribes could probably fall in that category. But, you know, there's those who love to see and be seen. All right, that's part of it. You know, the Pharisees, like the scribes that are mentioned here, like some of the other priests and the high priests, the Sadducees. There were all of these groups that, you know, he could point out and does point out through a lot of his teaching that they just love to see and be seen. They like to be the center of attention. All right. So one of the things as part of these two kinds of people, one of the things that is pointed out about like the scribes here and the Pharisees, you know, we can go to Matthew 23 and talk about them. They're all sort of lumped in the same categories with this. But they dress to stick out. You know, the way that they dress, you know, they want to be seen. You know, they got these really long robes, you know, and you know, with the Pharisees talk about like extending that blue ring around the edges of the garments and stuff, the big phylacteries on their foreheads. As well, you know, they love the greetings. They love the recognition. You know, they want to be called rabbi. They want to be called master. They want to be called teacher. You know, they want this recognition. If they come walking down the street, they demanded it. You better give it to them, you know. And then anything that they were invited to or if they decided to assemble or attend any kind of gathering, they wanted the best seats. They expected really for if they walked in for somebody else to give up that seat and let them have it. You know, especially if they deemed that individual to be on a lower level than them. They wanted the best of the best in all sense, you know. And really, they did what they did as part of their worship or their righteous type of life to get out what they wanted to get out of it. They wanted that praise. They wanted that recognition. And the Lord even you know, nails them on that in the sense that he tells them in that sense that, you know, really you've got what you've got out of that. The praise of men, if that's what you do it for, then yeah, you've got your reward for that. You know, so think about that kind of person, you know, that, you know, they seek those things out. And then we have those that love to do good. You know, like this widow, verses 42 through 44. She gave all that she had. You know, it wasn't the ideal of her thinking, you know, I'll give what the required amount. She could have done that. She could have thought, okay, what is the least amount that is truly required of me? I'll give that. No, she went past that. She knew, you know, that what she put in was in service unto the Lord. She also knew what she put in was service unto the work of the temple and in service to her fellow Jews. You know, so she gave all that she had. And, you know, it was so little, but it wasn't for her glory. It was really for the glory of God. You know, and you know, she wasn't doing it. She didn't proclaim it. She didn't flaunt it. She didn't, you know, come up there and say, hey, I've only got two. Here you go. I'm giving all I got. You know, she didn't do that. And that's why the Lord pointed her out and even, you know, pulled his, you know, disciples and all over and says, you need to pay attention to her. This is how you need to be. This is how you need to think. This is how you need to act. You know, she did her duty and beyond that duty. She went beyond, you know, the requirements. So, you know, two kinds of people. And we each will fall in really one of those categories. We'll be one that we're more self-serving or we're one that does serve others. The context and really what we're in and this set of verses and all that we're looking at, this is the Tuesday before Jesus' death. All right, and part of this, description, language, teaching, all of this is to expose the scribes and the Pharisees. It's to expose them really for who they are, how they're misleading the people. We're already starting to get that language a lot in our Bible class, even, you know, when we're talking 6 months out. Jesus is starting to point this out openly before people. You know, and here, right here before his death, leading up to his death, Tuesday before, he's making these great points, you know, about them. Look at them. Look how they act. Look what they're doing it for. You know, people wake up and see these things. It's easily seen. The situation is here. You can see this. They're not here for you. They're not here to get you closer to God. They're here for themselves. Mark 12 and verse 38. Mark 12 and verse 38, just maybe a page over for you. Says, then he said to them in his teaching, we're right back where we was at, page back, I skipped back. Beware of the scribes who desire to go around in long robes, love greetings in the marketplace. But notice the word he uses there, beware. That word beware, you know, here we've got the Greek, B-L-E-P-E-T, blepet. It's to see or perceive. So it's just what I've been getting across to you. Jesus is wanting them to wake up and see their falseness. He wants them, you know, the people at large, to look at them, see what they're about, and really perceive their hypocrisy. They claim to be righteous, but they're not. Again, go to Matthew 23, the whole chapter. That's what the whole chapter is about. The ideal of waking up, looking at the Pharisees, and seeing their hypocrisy. You know, this is a big difference from today's view. And I think this is, you know, got even, you know, more apparent as we go along. It's very apparent this month. You know, this month drives me crazy. You know, there's just certain times of year that makes you hate the whole year in some cases, at least the whole month. This month is one of those. It's everywhere you look, Gay Pride Month. It just drives me crazy. It's like, let's ruin the whole month of the year. You know, you just flaunt it every which direction, try to cram it down somebody's throat, you know, and the whole ideal is we just need to accept everyone and everything that everybody does. You know, they have this ideal of I can do as I want, live as I please. I have the right to go whatever. The problem is God condemns that mindset. He condemns the sin. He condemns the acceptance of sin. Now, that doesn't mean, and I was saying this today as we was traveling around, it doesn't mean we treat people poorly. Nowhere in the scriptures does it ever say treat someone poorly because of the sin they're in. Nowhere. It says love thy neighbor. You know, we talk about hating the sin, but we love our neighbor. Now, that doesn't mean we accept the sin they're in and, you know, welcoming it with open arms and talk about it and just act like it's no big thing. No, we don't. We need to understand this word, beware. There's a lot of times the beware is there, but the ideal of him telling the people, beware. Beware of the actions of these individuals. One of the things we already brought up was beware of dressing to be seen. All right, in their case, you know, it was a very lavish thing. It was a very prominent thing. It was meant that if you saw them coming through a crowd, your eye caught their attention, you know, caught your attention. You knew to give them praise. You knew to give them attention. That's what they wore it for. Well, you know what? A lot of outfits today are nothing more than just that same thing. It's to advertise self. You know, and yes, those outfits are made to grab your attention, even if you're in the middle of a crowd and say, wow, you know, I can't believe they come out in public like that. You know, but that's what they dress for. And I know the first thing come to your mind is inappropriate dress, right? The ideal of showing too much skin. Yes, that's in there. But there's also the ideal of so gaudy, so outrageous, outlandish, the ideal of dressing in a way just to draw your attention. You know, I noticed when I was teaching in the classroom that even the couple years that I was there, from the training up to me running my own classroom, it got more and more apparent for you know, people to take and dress in very outlandish ways to draw attention. Crazy colored hair, crazy colored outfits, crazy sayings, you know, on their clothes just to get attention. And they loved it. If you ever pointed it out to one, oh yeah, look, I mean, they just lit up. They wore it that way for a reason. They wanted attention. You know, and definitely the ideal, you know, of improper dress, you know, being, you know, immodest, showing off what should be kept covered out in public. You know, the rulers here, you know, they would wear their clothes so that they stood out in the crowd, you know. Very lavish nature, you know, and people do that today. You know, even, you know, the ideal of some forms of jewelry. It's one thing to wear jewelry. It's another thing to wear so much of it that it just stands out. And I had some young ladies in the classroom. They would do that. They would deck themselves out to they would glow when they come in. And it was all for attention. That's all it was for. It was to grab your attention, you know. The way they dress, you know, the Pharisees or even these outfits, it is not for respect. It's not for dignity, but it's to be seen. And that's what the Pharisees, you know, they would claim, oh, I'm following the laws, I'm following the rules, you know, or the old law. But no, they took that and then went to another level so that they were seen. It was past that. So today, think about, you know, even how we dress. You know, are we dressing to be seen? You know, it can happen. 1 Timothy 2:9. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. And, you know, I know this is straight for women, but men, adorn yourself in modest apparel. It's getting hot out there. You know, men, don't take and strip yourself down either. You know, it's for both. You know, Paul talking to Timothy, women. But men, you're in the same boat. Dress in a modest manner. You know, and then here with shamefacedness, the ideal of being, you know, not shamed of who you are, but the ideal of not wanting to be seen. I'm not dressing in a manner so people say, wow, look at you. You know, with sobriety, that's a sober nature about yourself, not being drunk. You know, that's what we talk about. People, oh, he's sober. You know, usually he's drunk. No, that's not what it's talking about. It's the ideal of having a sober nature about yourself, solemn in that sense. And then look, it even talks about like the ideal of braided hair, gold, pearls, costly array. That's not talking about you can't braid your hair. I love Deanna's little ponytail when she makes it. It's not talking about braiding your hair. It, you know, in that sense, as in like a simple ponytail. It's the ideal of going to an extent so people's like, wow, look at that hair. You know, and even the ideal of maybe weaving this gold or pearls or costly things into it to draw attention. What Paul's trying to get across here, writing this to Timothy to tell, is we should not dress in a manner to be seen. We're not to stick out in that way. Now, what we should be picked out as is our way of life. That's a godly individual. They dress in a modest way. They speak in a modest way. They act properly toward people. Then we stick out because we're different than the world. We should never stick out in the world, because when the world thinks we stick out, you know, because of that, then we surely stick out. Another beware, you know, beware of wanting that attention, whatever it is, you know. Whether it's the clothes, like I say, to draw attention to ourselves, you know, what is, you know, the attitude we have toward needing to be acknowledged and praised, you know? Like I mentioned, some of the examples, you know, I've had people come in, and if I didn't say hello to them, if I didn't say goodbye to them, they're plumb mad at me. I've actually had to go up because I can tell something's going on over like a week's period of time, And they're like, yeah, I come in the door the other day. You were busy talking to so-and-so, and you did not acknowledge me. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. You've been mad for like 2 weeks because I didn't say hello to you. You thought that you needed that. You had to have that recognition from me to even feel like you were important to me. You know, the problem is when you're at that level, you are so full of pride, you don't even realize somebody else was talking to me. Maybe they needed to talk to me for a better reason than just, hello, glad you're here. You know, you don't even think of that, you know. The ideal of me, it's me. I need the attention. I need the acknowledgement. I need the praise. You know, even the ideal of names, like in announcements, on our sick list. Yes, we need to remember the sick. We need to remember those that are struggling. But I actually heard from a preacher that he said he had to get rid of those lists at the congregation he was in because it started being such a problem. Why didn't I get mentioned? Why didn't I get brought up? You know, I think I needed more attention than that. You know, I think so-and-so's sickness isn't near as bad as so-and-so's sickness. If I could just boil down to, it went from us being concerned about others to, hey, I want my fair share of the time frame of being mentioned. And that shouldn't be, but it does happen. And not just, you know, here in the church. How about when you go to the job site? Do you want to be the number one top dog on the job site? You know, and I say job site because I used to be a job site, but your office, even online, everybody's working online. Do you want all the attention? Think about that. You know, do you need the most predominant position to feel good about yourself? Our life is to be a life that should be praising God, not to be praised of men. Jesus himself says, I came to serve, not to be served. We got to make sure that you know, we have the same attitude, you know. Matthew 6, 1 and 2. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore when thou dost thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues. You know, I have to think he's talking about these ones that he's condemning, right? You know, if they're making all this, you know, effort into being seen, to do those prayers out in the open and everything else. Did they really get someone to sound a trumpet? Hey, I'm coming to put my money in. Look how much it is. You need to see this. I think it must have had to happen, right? It says, as the hypocrites, and we know who he condemns as hypocrites over and over. It says that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Just like I mentioned earlier, you know. Beware of desiring honor. You know, again, you know, taken here and we'll take a look out in the world as well. But, you know, this is one that I always tell myself, you know, why do you preach? You know, why do you get up in front of the crowd? Why do you teach? Why do you preach? You know, is it to receive honor? You know, is it one of those things that I do it so people, like when they do their opener prayer, they'll pray for the preacher? Do I do it so that when you're going out the back door, I get to hear, hey, what great job on that lesson. Why do you preach? Why do you put yourself in those positions? It should be to teach the truth, to magnify and glorify God, to take and strengthen and encourage the knowledge and strength of your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, but it can be, you know, simply so you are told how good you did on it. Same thing with leading singing, you know, that happens. You know, I've definitely seen song leaders like that get mad, you know, if they think someone's got to lead singing more in a month than they did. I'm a better singer than they are. I ought to take and get to lead singing more than they do. You know, the same thing, you know. You know, are you there to receive some compliments on how sweet your voice is? Or are you using a gift that God gave you to bring glory unto God, to praise his name, and to admonish and uplift your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ? Why do you do it? I guess another big question is, why are you here at all? You know, so someone will give you recognition, you know, give you honor that you're here. Boy, you know, you're always here. But yeah, you're always here, but are you here because you want to serve God faithfully? Or are you here because you want to hear, oh yeah, you're here, look at you. Matthew 18:4, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. That's what he had to tell his apostles there. You know, you need to be like this little kid right here. You know, don't think who's going to be the greatest, who's the best, who's this, who's that, who's the most trustworthy, who does Jesus take, you know, with him in the most places. No, you need to be like this little child who's Lord himself. He knows his place. How about we look, you know, Mark 12:43. We've already mentioned this. Mark 12:43. So he called the disciples himself, said, "Assuredly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury." You know, the idea of called, that dish, you know, think about that. It says, beware. You know, beware of them. But no, you need to pay attention to her. Or on the other hand, this widow's a good example. Pay attention to her. Don't pay attention to those that are acting in that way. Pay attention to her. She is humble. There was no glory sought in what she did, none. There was no trumpet that was sounded. She didn't have enough to put in to even think about sounding the trumpet to make any kind of show of it. It was pocket change to those that were rich. They would probably throw that to the beggar as they went in and still give all that they give. It was an honest, honest thing. There was no pretending in that. There was no hypocrisy in that whatsoever. She gave all that she had. And that's what he's pointing out to them. You know, you need to be like her. Don't be like them, but be like her. Another thing that she was valuable. Jesus makes a point here. Notice this. It says in verse 43, the poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. And you're thinking, well, she only had that little bit of money, two mites. And Jesus says that is more than everything everybody else gives. Well, you know, money-wise, that's not the case. All right, that's not what he's pointing out. Money-wise, yeah, definitely way out the gold everybody else gives. It's way more than the little two mites she put in. But what he's talking about is the way God views value. The individual she is, the heart that she has, the motive behind what she did. She's a great value to God. So according to God's standards, she's very valuable. Think about your own self on that. What value do you have to God? Is it the value you deem yourself worthy as? Or is it the value that you see God holds as valuable? There's some woes I'd like for us to look at. You know, whether it's in the church, whether it's in life, you know, the ideal of just self-serving in general. There are some woes. One thing we need to understand with a woe is those that are self-serving, they will not go into heaven. It's not going to happen. Matthew 23:13. I've got these on the screen. Feel free to turn there. Matthew 23:13. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. So this is at the very beginning, the ideal of leading them up to where they can take and obey the gospel and become part of the Lord's body, his kingdom, his church. And he says, you're not going to go in. And you're doing everything you possibly can to keep others out. You know what it boiled down to? The ideal of that self-serving. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. Why were they hypocrites? Because of what he's already described. Another woe. You know, being self-serving will lead others to hell. You know, that's what we just picked out. You know, Matthew 23:15. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourself. We talked about this in our New Testament living lesson we had, how they would take and travel all the way over to Rome, because there were those in Rome that wanted to convert. You know, and then they would teach them, but what they would teach them is what they wanted them to be taught so that they could bring them back to Jerusalem and parade them around and say, look at what I've done. And what they created was not what God deemed as a true proselyte, one that had changed their life over to serve God. So yeah, not only are they keeping themselves out, but they're keeping others. Another thing on being self-serving, if you're being self-serving, you're leaving other work undone. You know why you're leaving that other work undone? Because you're working too much on yourself and for yourself. Matthew 23:23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the others undone. Now, the reason that they went through and, you know, got 10% of every one of these little spices is so that when they brought it forward, you know, blow the trumpet, here I come. All right, I'm giving 10% of everything. Look here, y'all. And like I mentioned in one lesson, I read where they would go out to these trees, like trees that they like say something we know, like maybe like a basil leaf off of a tree or something. They would go out there and they would, so they could be seen out and open, count every leaf on the tree, take 10% off of them, pull them off, and take them to the temple. So when they come in showing all these things, look what I did. I went and counted every single leaf on every one of those trees, pulled every one of them off to give. Now, that took a lot of time and a lot of effort. What good was it, though? Does God need 10% of those leaves off that tree? No, but what he did need them to do, as we've talked about in our Bible class lately, was for them to stand up and actually show true judgment. Not like they did to the man that was born blind and how they treated him and threw him out and belittled him in front of everybody, including his parents, because he was just recognizing Jesus as the one that healed him. No, they needed true judgment. They needed true mercy. They needed true faith. And they needed to quit counting all those leaves and leaving these big things undone. Same thing today, whether it's in the church, whether it's out there in your life. You know, if you're so focused on self, there are so much other things that you're missing out on. Continuing with this, you know, being self-serving, you know, a woe to that is an insincere faith. It's not really sincere. Matthew 23:25, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. It's like, you know, I know everybody's been there with a dishwasher. You go to like get a cup out of the dishwasher, it's like flipped over, and maybe, you know, your kid got some stuff. Maybe for some of you with younger kids, you know, they had one somewhere and it had old nasty clabbered milk or something in it, and you just sort of shook it out and put it in the dishwasher, and then the dishwasher didn't really get it all. So you go to pick up what looks like a beautiful clean cup, and then whoo, you look inside and you're like, oh man, that's nasty. It still stinks, you know. That's sort of what he's getting across with the scribes and Pharisees. He's saying y'all make a really nice outward appearance. You really look like you're righteous. But inside, you're not. You're not. Why? Because they're so self-serving. The reason they put on such a good outside is not because that's truly who they are. They put the outside on for people that are outside to see them that way. And inside, they're the wrong kind of person. Also, you know, like when we start coming to the ideal of worship, being self-serving creates fake fellowship, fake worship with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Matthew 23, again, 27. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanliness. So it's like if you're coming for the wrong reason, you're coming to be seen, to take and receive honor and recognition and all this instead of coming to serve God and serve others, then yeah, you've got fake fellowship. You're not here for the right reason. Or we could throw in the ideal of coming for entertainment purposes. That seems to be one of the biggest things ever. Brother James was talking about, you know, an individual and a group that he talked about, the whole ideal of having to go online and different things. He says they have lost members because of COVID and don't think they'll ever get them back. And I hear that from other people. We'll never get them back. They're not coming back. Why? Because they were coming because they wanted to be seen. They liked the recognition, different things. And then when they got away and got online and found the ease of not doing it, why am I doing it at all? Well, they never were doing it for the right reason. That's the problem. And then when they sort of got a reason or excuse to slack from that, then they're gone. Signs of show and not service. Attend when convenient. You know, when we start talking about, you know, the ideal of worship, that could also be like for other commitments in your life. You just do it when it's convenient for you. You expect pleasantries. You know, the ideal of somebody better say hello to me. They better tell me I'm looking good today. You know, something of that nature. I demand that. You know, that's show, not service. You know, when you let others do the work, you know, the ideal of I'm here not for the work, but maybe for the pleasantries and everything else. Or maybe you jump in to do the work, but it's because of maybe some of these next two statements. I do the work because I feel deserving of whatever. The praise for how well that I speak, the way that I use words, how good that I sound when I lead singing. And then, you know, maybe if you use statements like, I want to get this out of that. You know, that's a dead, giveaway that you hear for show. When you guys say, I want this. Nah, what can I do for that? How can I help with that? How can I make this better? But I won't. That's a dead giveaway that you're there for the show, not for service. You know, I want this out of it. You know, I've made this point a couple times. Y'all know this, but when me and Andy were sitting at the fairgrounds, a couple come up and they talked about they was attending a certain congregation and their kids were getting a lot of attention. But him and his wife were not. And he said, what can you offer us at our age? And me and Andy both just looked at him and said, knowledge, the Bible. You know, I mean, that's all we have to offer to anybody. It is knowledge. You know, we're not taking ski trips, but they mentioned things like that. You know, we're not doing those things. That's not serving God. That's serving yourself. But that's what they wanted. I want this. That's why we're thinking about leaving them. They don't have enough for me. You know, and it's not like, what can I do? How can I serve God? How can I gain the knowledge that he wants me to gain? No, what can I get out of this? You know, some signs of service, the other side. You know, absent only when necessary. You know, that's signs of true service. When that is your priority, you're going to come, you're going to do your job, you're going to work hard at it, you know, because you understand the importance of it, truth and spirit. You know, you make others feel welcome. You know, it you don't come for yourself. You come to help others. You know, you look for work to do. You know, you look for a way to make things better. You look for a way to increase things. You know, even if it is just the knowledge of others, the happiness of others, in that sense, you look for ways to be better at what you do. Think about this. That's not just for here. That's other aspects of your life. You know, think about that in your family. You know, when I get up in the morning, do I look to see how my family will serve me today? Or do I look at how I can serve my family today? Or when you go to your job, you know, are you coming in, okay, what am I going to get out of this today besides my paycheck? You know, or do you go in thinking, I'm going to make this company better today. I'm going to make so-and-so two cubicles down, he's always got that frown, I'm going to make their life a little better today. Whatever the case is, think about the ideal of signs of service compared to signs of show. You know, when it comes to the serving God, you know, understands God is deserving of your service. Not I am deserving of what I do, but God is deserving of what I do. And one that definitely has signs of service, understands the difference in earthly service and spiritual service. And that too is not just here in the building, but every aspect of our life. Work as unto the Lord. And that's every aspect of our life. Dads, lead your family as if it was unto the Lord. Wives, take care of your household as if it is unto the Lord. Children, obey your parents as if it was unto the Lord. You know, when you go to the job site, you've got a boss. We've got a lot of verses Paul writes about the master. Treat the master as if you were working unto the Lord. If you're head over people, treat those lower than you as if you're working unto the Lord. You know, think about that. That's signs of service, not signs of show. In conclusion, a couple of short little points and we're done. If we are the kind of individual we're supposed to be, praise will be bestowed on us by God and others. It'll come from others because you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. You know, but true praise, true value comes from God. I will agree with you. It always feels good to be wanted. It's good and feels good to be needed. But don't seek that out. Don't seek that out. You know, I enjoy when someone comes back and says, you know, I really like that lesson. I've been thinking on those points, or I know exactly who I could take this information to help. I like that. Not that I did a good job, but that I helped you, or I'm helping you help somebody else. That makes me feel good. It makes me feel like I've accomplished something. But I don't do it for that reason. I don't do it to feel better. I do it because the work needs to be done. We need to make sure our life is to serve and not be served. And that's in every aspect of this life. You know, I mean, it doesn't matter who you are, what position you have in the workforce. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how great a singer you are here, how great you could be in the announcements or the lesson. It doesn't matter. Why do you do what you do? Why are you what you are in every aspect of your life? Focus on that. Do you live to serve, or do you live to be served? Tonight, if there's any way that we can help you to draw closer to God, we are happy to help. If you'll come.